The Gospel of John, chapter 9, we read from verse 40 to chapter 10, verse 18. Right, this is the fourth I am claim of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you have the Bible, please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 9, reading from verse 40. Thank you. Alright, John chapter 9, verse 40. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this word and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains. Most assuredly," in chapter 10, verse 1, "I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs the other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pastures. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." That ends the reading. Excuse me. Of your Son Jesus Christ. This morning, Lord, as we read over this part of the scripture, we want to encounter you as our good shepherd. So, Holy Spirit, come and illuminate this word and cause it to sink right into the depths of our being. That we know that we have a good shepherd who loves us, who cares for us, and who dies for us. And Lord, there is so much to this, and that we may not receive it as a head knowledge, but as a revelation, that it touches our spirit man, it touches our heart, and that it could change our whole disposition of life. So, Holy Spirit, come to glorify the Father and the Son through this word, and cause your people to be receptive, to have a hearing ear and a receptive heart, that they may receive and they will yield forth good fruits in their life. So Lord, we commit this time to you in the mighty name of your Son Jesus. We all pray, and God's people say, Amen. Amen. Now, so far, of all the seven I am statement claim of Jesus found in the Gospel of John, we have covered three of them. The first one, if you can recall, being I am the bread of life. And the second statement, I am the light of the world. The third one, I am the door. And today I'm going through the fourth statement, I am the good shepherd. Now, Jesus called himself the good shepherd. This is an image that runs through the Bible from Genesis right through the book of Revelation. And one of the best known Psalm, Psalm 23, contains the word, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In the other Psalm, the same metaphor is being used. And in Psalms 80, it describes God as the shepherd of the nation Israel. And Psalm 77 and 78 describe God as leading his people out of Egypt, the land of bondage, like a flock of sheep. Now, God always used the shepherd, was always the shepherd of his sheep. And this is one of the images that he emphasized, that unique relationship between God and his people. And it appears that in many different ways throughout the scripture, if he is our shepherd, then we are his sheep. And of all the animals that God has created, why does God use the imagery of a shepherd and a sheep to describe our relationship with him? Now, I give you a few reasons. This is because sheep, in many ways, characterize us. No insult intended. You and I are all in the same boat. And the first reason being, sheep generally are pretty dumb and stubborn animals. Now, you ask yourself, have you ever seen a group of trained sheep in the circus? Most likely not. We all seen trained apes, trained lions, tigers, elephants, and also even dolphins, but not sheep in circus. And you probably hardly or never will, because sheep are just too simple-minded and dumb. And some people may think it in a very different way. And they think that they are smart, they are not dumb, and they know a lot. They are capable enough to run their own life, and they don't need God as their guide. They can chart their life and future for themselves independent of God. Now, they are only to find out that after they die, they have been deceived by the devil who came to kill, to steal, and destroy their life. And all their worldly achievement and pursuit amounts to nothing but ashes. Second reason, sheep are dirty and wayward. Real sheep are not those things that you see in greeting cards, clean, fluffy balls of cotton, beautiful pictures. They can't keep themselves clean, and they smell. And they tend to wander off easily because they are short-sighted and they cannot see beyond 15 meters. And you can bring a wayward sheep back, but they are still prone to wander off again because they seldom learn from their mistake. Does that sound familiar? Third reason, sheep are defenseless, dependent, and vulnerable. They don't have any natural defense too. No claws, no sharp horns, no fangs. To make matter worse, they are top heavy and their legs do not have strong muscles. And this that makes them slow in running. And they also have no camouflage. So when they are being chased by wild animals like wolf or lions, they are very prone to become prey unless they receive help. And not only are they vulnerable to wild animals, they are also susceptible to all kinds of diseases. And the fourth reason, sheep are easily frightened and confused. Now, it doesn't take much to scramble a flock of nervous sheep. They have been known to plunge straight over the edge of the cliff in a panic, and one following after another. If you don't believe that sheep are easily frightened or confused, we are easily frightened and confused. Just take the recent example, the brick exit. Just with that decision, the whole world now is in a confused state, and they are in a state of what I call being frightened. And all, the financial center, they all throw their shares, and the world stock market had their share value kind of trimmed or cut by a few $1 trillion. And so we can see that there is this, what they call herd instincts. Everybody is so confused and so frightened just with one catastrophic event like this. Now, God doesn't compare us to sheep so often in the Bible to put us down. He makes this comparison in his book so often because he wants to communicate a truth, a very important truth to us. And he wants us to know that we need a guide. We need God as our guide in our life. And that's why Isaiah chapter 53 says that we are all sheep have gone astray and each of us has turned his own way. And then Mark 9:36 says, when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they are like sheep without a shepherd. And David wrote in the Psalms 23, he says that we need a shepherd to guide us on the paths of righteousness. We need a shepherd with a rod and a staff to comfort us. And texts like this should remind us that we have a constant need for a shepherd. You see, not only do we need a good shepherd, Jesus is the only good shepherd who is fully qualified for this task. Good means two things. One, morally good. Two, someone who is excellent in the skills of shepherding. So, first, our Lord is a good shepherd for many reasons. Number one, he knows us intimately. Now, King David, one of the psalmists, said in Psalm 139, he says that, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me, and you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is in my tongue, you know it completely. O Lord, you created my most inner being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw me, or saw my unformed body. And all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Which means to say, God knows intricately and intimately everything about you and your life makeup. He even knows the number of your hairs on your head. Now, this is not just an intellectual awareness. There isn't a single motivation, thought, act, or word that has slipped out and escaped our Lord's undivided attention. In the Middle East, the shepherd looks after a small flock, less than 100, and they are real for wool and for milk, not for meat. And therefore, the shepherd lives and sleeps with the sheep many, many years, and he gets to know them very well. He gives each sheep a personal name. They have a very close relationship with each other. He does not treat one of them as a digit. He knows each one personally. Their strength, their weakness, their like, their dislike. And he calls them by name. The shepherds are highly devoted to them. And not only does he know us, he wants to guide us through life. Isaiah chapter 58, it says, verse 11, the Lord will guide you continually. Psalm 35, verse 12, who is the man that fears the Lord? God will teach him the way that is best for him. Psalm 32, verse 8, God says to us, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Deep down inside, we realize that we require a guidance. Leadership, it is also known as shepherding, to make our way down the roads of life. And many times in life, we are faced with many decisions in life. And some of them are once in a lifetime decision. Some are very important crossroads in life. And some are highly consequential in life. Which course of study to take, which person to marry, what jobs to take up, what house to buy, how to handle a situation, what to do with some relationship problems. We know deep within us we need guidance in life. We then go and ask someone for opinion, for decision. And worse still, many who need guidance go to the wrong place. They seek guidance from horoscope, from psychic, from ungodly people. The first person that you should seek guidance from is Jesus, because he says he is your good shepherd. And only some prayer you may go to godly people. And these people may be your parents, your pastors, your spiritual leaders. Because sometimes God chose to answer your question through godly people. Now many people say, even though I pray and seek God, I find it very hard to hear with clarity from God. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And many fail to realize that the whole purpose of seeking guidance from God is not just about the decision itself. The decision that you want to know is only one half of the equation. The other more important half is to get to know Jesus and His voice from the process of seeking Him. It is the relationship building with Jesus, the shepherd of our soul. That is the key. And the more you seek Him, and when you go through more of those processes, if your focus is on the person, then you are able to hear progressively with clarity the voice of God. But if your focus is just on decision, even though God may give you the decision, but that you are not progressing in your spiritual life, you will not get to know your Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. When you get to hear, to know and to hear His voice, then it's easy to hear with clarity. Notice that the Bible did not say that my lamb hears and knows my voice, but He says His sheep knows and hear His voice. Only sheep do, not lamb. And to be able to be a sheep, you need to go through the process of maturity. Second reason, the shepherd loves and cares for us individually. Now in Luke chapter 15, Jesus told of a story. There are 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray. He wanders in the wilderness and was lost. What does Jesus do? Jesus will take all the trouble, putting the 99 sheep aside, and He will go all the way to just seek for that one lost sheep. And when Jesus found the lost sheep, He would carry that particular sheep on the shoulder and He rejoiced. And when He reached home, He would call His friends, He would call His neighbors. He says, come, rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost. And Jesus likened here Himself to the good shepherd who will leave the 99 of His flock in order to find one that is lost. And that is our Lord. Some of you may pick this up wrongly and say, it is okay to go astray, to be lost again. After all, the Lord will come and find me. But if I am found, there will be more rejoicing and more celebration. My response to you is, no, no, no. The shepherd has in his hand two instruments of correction. One of them is a staff. And the staff is about 7 or 8 feet long. And that is the crook at the end. And if the sheep fall into a hole, he would use the staff to just retrieve the sheep. Or if the sheep tries to veer off course when the shepherd is guiding the flock, he would just use that staff to hook and steer the sheep back to the main body to walk in the right direction. Now, please be aware, if a sheep wandered away habitually into areas potentially destructive, the shepherd would have to use the rod, that is another instrument of correction, and this time to break the leg. Then he will put the lamb of the sheep on the shoulder and will carry until its legs are healed. And when the lamb was able to walk on its own again because of the bonding that took place during the time the shepherd carried the sheep on his shoulder, the sheep will most likely never want to wander off course again. That lies the reason for not wandering away. Every time that you think, I like to fool around with a sinful lifestyle, it isn't that bad. Just think. Crack, snap. That is what will happen. This is not because Jesus or the Lord is vindictive or sadistic, but because He wants to save us from danger and damnation. If you have a few broken bones in your spiritual journey before, you need to learn to say, Lord, I do not want to stray again. I want to stay right next to you every step of the way. Some sheep are strong, some sheep are weak. Some like to stray, some are timid, some are fearful. There are all kinds of sheep. Jesus cares for them all. He will seek the lost and He will bring back the stray. He will bind up the injured and He will strengthen the weak. He knows all the situation you are in. And He knows you personally. He gives you His undivided attention. He loves and He cares for you personally. He is the good shepherd. And this leads me to the next point. He leads them. The shepherd leads them. The shepherd does not drive the sheep. John 10 verse 3. The shepherd calls his sheep by name and leads them out. There is a big difference between leading and driving. Jesus leads us. The devil, a taskmaster, drive us. I'm sad to say that many under-shepherds or pastors have adopted the style of the world. They drive the people to evangelize, to do mission, to meet some targets. It is performance and results orientated. They have performance indicator and they have yearly targets to achieve in terms of the size of the church, the numbers of souls that they want to win, the numbers of baptism, and the revenue they like to attain, and the numbers of the disciples they want to bring under their wings. They are run like a commercial organization. And the people feel pressured and driven, just like working in any commercial organization. They drive the people from top down. But Jesus leads from the front, not top down. John 10:6 says, and when He brings out His sheep, He goes before them. And the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Notice here it says that the shepherd leads and walks in front of the sheep. He leads them not from above by exerting pressure on them. Neither does He push or drive them from behind. He doesn't drive, push or chase them, but He leads them from the front. And this is one of the key to a healthy shepherd-sheep relationship. A sheep can only walk so far, and the shepherd has to know when to make them lie down and when to take them further. And that is why in Psalm 23, the psalmist say, the Lord makes me to lie down, that means to rest in green pastures. And this brings me to my next point. John 10:9 says that the sheep will go in and out and find pasture. Pasture is the food for the sheep. The good shepherd feeds the sheep. The shepherding background of the Western country and Middle East is different. In the West, there is generally always grass and water. You don't have a need to go to find for them. These are very different in the Middle East. The shepherd has got to go by himself to go and look for pastures and still water. Still water. Because a sheep can't drink troubled water or running water because the nostril is too near to the mouth. So the shepherd has to examine the field very carefully. When he is sure that there are no poisonous weeds there, he will return to bring the flock out to graze on the pasture. So one of the main responsibilities of the shepherd is to look for green pasture and still water. Psalm 23 says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He also leads me beside the still water. And so God wants us to be fed with a balanced diet. We need both food and drink, green pastures and still water. We need rest as well as activity. You need to lie down and you also need to at times move on. Time for work, time for rest. And all pastors of a local church has a responsibility to lead his flock into green pastures and still waters. Food without water over a period of time will make us constipated. Water without food over a prolonged time will cause us to suffer malnutrition. And it is the pastor's responsibility to spiritually feed his congregation, because he is held accountable by God if the church members are not fed good spiritual food, nutritious spiritual food. Therefore, I take my sermon preparation very seriously, and God will hold me highly accountable on the judgment day for the type of spiritual food that I'm feeding you week after week. And the pastors must ensure that the doctrine that he teaches are pure and devoid of error, so that the flock can be fed with uncontaminated word of God. The spiritual food need to have diversity in terms of the different nutrients, and also diversity in terms of, there must be spiritual milk for those who are newly saved, and also solid meat for the more matured Christian. And therefore, he also need to be alert to the erroneous teaching that the devil is promoting through some other pastors and churches out there. And he needs to warn the congregation not to wander and to feed on those poison. So let me give you some example. The current, examples would be the prosperity gospel and also the hyper grace teaching that is out there. And so God wants us to be healthy and a well-balanced sheep. He does not want a fat, obese sheep sit around and just eat and do nothing. Neither does he want to be a bare-boned sheep suffering from anorexia. And he wants us to grow in the word and in the spirit, the green pasture as well as the still water. He wants us to grow up. Church, we need to grow up. Now, we are saved not just to be dazzled by miracle signs and wonders and sensation. He wants us to have a close and a personal relationship with Jesus and to clean up our life, that we will grow in stability. And you cannot live by miracle alone. You need the relationship with God and the foundation of God's word in our life. Fifth, the good shepherd protects the sheep. The flock is exposed to all kinds of dangers and enemies. There are wolves out there. There are lions. There are bears roaming around. And the sheep are vulnerable. And the shepherd has a dangerous and a difficult life. He has got to be a fighter. And therefore the shepherd carried two protective instruments. One was the sling and the stone. The other was a rod to ward off the predators. You can recall that David, the shepherd boy, fought and killed the lion and the bear while he was doing shepherding. And he also acquired the excellent skill in the handling of the sling and the stone, because God was preparing him in due time to fight Goliath, the enemy of Israel, with slings and stone. And when evening comes, the shepherd will guide the flock back home to the sheep pen, and he often has to go through the valley of deep shadows to reach home. Jackals, wolves, and lions are lurking around, seeking to devour the stray sheep. And the shepherd will use the staff to ensure that the sheep remain in the main body, and use the rod to fight off any wild animals. And the sheep will feel assured of safety and also comforted of the shepherd's protection when they go through that valley. Psalm 23 verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I now want to really dig back this thing to our church application. Every one of us as Christian is open to the snares, temptation, the attacks of Satan, who is the enemy of our soul. And Jesus is the good shepherd whose eyes are on his sheep. And he is a good shepherd. And he has a pastoral function. And he protects us from every harm and every danger from the enemy. And if we remain in his flock, and that is a qualifier. If we remain in his flock, we have the assurance that nothing will harm us. Nothing out of hell will harm us. Nothing at all, because his eyes are on his flock. The question is whether we want to remain in that flock, or we want to insist our way to stray away from him. Remember, Jesus has two instruments of correction. One is the staff, which is a gentle approach, or a rod, the hard approach. And if we are not receptive to the soft approach after some time and remain defiant and insistent to stray habitually, Jesus may have to use the rod to break our leg to bring us back. The choice is ours. Hebrews chapter 12 says, he chastises whom he loves. Not only Jesus protect us, he is willing to lay down his life for us. That leads me to my final point. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Then Jesus begins to draw a contrast between the good shepherd and the hireling. The hireling is there only for the paycheck. His heart is purely motivated by money and what he can get in return. And he is carrying out the role just as a salaried worker. Nothing more, nothing less. Hireling will just do the bare minimum. He will not go for the extra mile. The hireling has no sense of ownership of the sheep. He does not feel and care for the sheep. He does not know the sheep. And he cares not for the well-being of the sheep. And when trouble comes, what happens? He runs away and he leaves the sheep to be devoured by the wolf. He is not willing to put his life on the line to protect the sheep. The good shepherd, on the other hand, is there for the well-being of the sheep. His motivation is not money, but love. His motivation is not what he can get out of the sheep. Because he loves, he gives. He does not see it as a job, but he sees it as a calling. He is willing to sacrifice for them. The good shepherd will do his utmost beyond the call of duty. And he has a strong sense of ownership because he relates to each of his sheep as his own. He knows every one of them by name. And when trouble comes, he will always protect them. If any predators come to attack the sheep and their life is in danger, the good shepherd is willing to die for the sheep. Now, in every of the great I am claim statement of Jesus, there is always a miracle or a sign to accompany Jesus' claim. So, let's recap. For example, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, prior to that, he fed the 5,000 with the miracle of just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And there he declared, I am the bread of life. And when Jesus claims, I am the light of the world, he showed 2 signs. He liberated the adulterous woman in moral darkness. And then he also heals the blind man whose world is in darkness because he cannot see. But when Jesus claims, I am the good shepherd who gave my life for my sheep, the question is, what event substantiated his claim? Anyone? His death on the cross. That's right. Jesus is true to his word. He laid down his life for his sheep, for you and for me. And it is not an accidental death or something that is beyond his control. It is of his own voluntary choice. No man can put Jesus to death unless Jesus chose to give them the permission. There are at least 5 occasions in the gospel, 5 attempts to assassinate Jesus. None of them succeeded because Jesus did not permit them. He would never have been crucified unless he permitted them. That is why Jesus says in verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down and also have the power to take it again, meaning his resurrection. In conclusion, in life, there are many decisions before us. We need a guide to show us how to get to our destination. And along the way, there are many pitfalls. There are many dangers that the enemy has laid ahead of us. However, we need not fear because Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who gives my life for my sheep. And Jesus is our guide who knows us and who cares for our well-being. He will protect and he will lead us to our destination without any harm. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The key lies in the word, the Lord. To have Jesus as our perfect guide, we need to make Jesus as our Lord in every area of our life. It is not good enough just to have him as our Savior. You cannot say that, I don't want to make him my Lord, I just want to make him my Savior, and he is to be my guide. No way. He said, the Lord is my Savior. And we make him the Lord in every area of our life, we can be 100% assured that he will lead and he will guide us into green pasture and we will enjoy abundant life. So, brothers and sisters, the key question is whether you are making Jesus as the Lord in every area of your life. If you want green pastures, if you want abundant life, then whatever he says, you are to obey. The reason why we get into all kinds of trouble is we have not made him the Lord, literally the Lord of our life. And that is why we get into all kinds of mess. So let us make Jesus, can I get the musicians to come? Make Jesus our Lord as our Lord. In reality, not paying him just lip service or just a cliche or just a title that we gave him, but let us truly make him the Lord in every area of our life. Then he can be our shepherd that guides us from point A to point B to point C, and we will have the abundant life that he promises us. Thank you. Amen.